Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, saints. Come on, I said praise the Lord, not praise Reverend, praise the Lord. Let's give God some praise. Give God some praise, for he is worthy to be praised. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. One more time. What a joy it is to be in his presence. One more time. Thank God for you all, and as always, I'm always thankful to First Congregational Christian Church for inviting me in to speak with you all God's word, and thank you for your support, your encouragement. It really helps, so I'm not going to prolong the service today, but I just want you to know that I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. My wife loves you, and we're still under the unction of God's will to do whatever it is he would call us to do. Amen? Amen. How many of you were blessed this morning? And when you got up out of your bed and you just thank God for waking you up this morning? How many of you thanked him for just giving you another breath in your body, another opportunity, another chance to praise him, another chance to worship him, another chance to make it into the house of the Lord that you may fellowship one with another? Oh, what a time it'll be when all God's children get together. Let us pray. Father God, our Lord and Savior, we come before your presence this morning in humble submission, thanking you, Father God, for how you have kept us, Father. Thanking you for how you've kept us from 1 week to the next, Father God. From 1 day to the next, Father God. From 1 hour to the next, Father God. But we're trusting in you, Father God. We said if we trust in you, Lord, and acknowledge you in all things, that you would direct our path. So we're asking right now in the name of Jesus that you continue, Father God, to order our steps, Lord. We lift up First Congregational Christian Church to you in the name of Jesus, asking that you continue, Father God, to embrace them with your love, Father God. Continue to be that hedge of protection around them, Father. And I know you said, according to your word, you would give them pastors after your own heart, Father God. And whomever that may be, Father God, we pray that they come with a servant's heart, Lord, to do your will, to feed your sheep, Father God, to edify your kingdom. Bless them, Father God, individually and collectively. Bless every ministry of the church, Father God. The ushers, Father God, the music, the musicians, Father God, the deacons, the deaconess, Father God, and every member thereof, Father. We invite you into this service this morning. Have your way, Father God. Have your way. Let everything that we do, Father God, this day be to please you, and may it bring glory to your name. It's in the name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right.
Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made I tried all that I could. Seems like nothing did me any good. Then I heard Jesus, he was passing by. Then I decided is Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Falling in love with Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. In love with Jesus was the best thing I ever done. Touch my hand, my mouth, and my heart. Feel my life, Lord. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. In his arms I feel protected. In his arms never disconnected, no. In his arms I feel protected. There's no other place I had rather be. It's the best thing he ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done.
in love with Jesus was the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm making it personal. I can't speak for you. I can't even speak for my wife. But falling in love with Jesus was the best thing that ever happened to me. I heard him say, in his arms, I feel protected. I'm never disconnected. If you're disconnected from God, you're in the right place at the right time, that you may hear the word of God that can give you the avenue to reconnect then to God. Falling in love with Jesus. Thank you, brother. What's the best thing that ever happened to me? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's give this brother a round of applause for allowing God to use him. Thank the musicians for the beautiful music that you've been playing all morning, for the service and what has taken place thus far. Praise the Lord. Okay. Boy, you better. Preacher kind of got me going with that falling in love with Jesus. I came to preach and not sing, so let me yield to that. Let us pray. Eternal God, my Lord and Savior, I come before your presence right now, Lord, in humble submission, thanking you, Father God, for blessing me one more day to see yet another day, one more day to say I love you, to say I thank you, to ask for forgiveness of my sins, to ask that you continue to order my steps. And now, Father God, this vessel that you have prepared to speak your word to your sheep, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would speak through me, Father God, what you would have them to hear. Make it clear, Father God, that they can receive it and more so apply it, Father God, to their everyday lives, Lord. Father, this is nothing about me but all about you. Allow me to decrease that you increase, and that the words that proceed out of my mouth be acceptable unto you, be pleasing unto you, and glorify you. For it's in your Son Jesus' name I do pray, Father God. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. There is a word for you this morning. God has prepared for you. And that word for you this morning is coming out of the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, the chapter 13. And I will read to you verses 12 through 15. And as always, if you would like to stand with me as I read God's word, I bid you to do so at this time. John, Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 12 through 15, and I'll be reading the King James Version. Amen. And God's word reads, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was sat down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given unto you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. You may take your seats. For I have given to you an example that ye should do what I have done for you. I want to use for a subject this morning a servant's heart. And if I had to use a subject, that would be the model servant. In the last service where I preached to you out of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, and it was practice what you preach. And it was a discourse between Jesus and the Pharisees and his disciples. He was telling them to do what the Pharisees and the scribes say for you to do because it is the word. But he was saying to them also, on the other hand, don't do what they do. They don't imitate them because the things that they're doing are the ways of the world. So if you're going to practice then what you preach, you're preaching the word of God, then your preaching and your practice, in other words, your works must be done with the servant's heart. If you're going to practice what you preach, so this is a continuation of that sermon, if you will. See, a servant's heart is one that will operate out of love. At the onset of this chapter, chapter 13, verse 1, the word reads, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come," and this, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, church, is not a particular hour like we look at hour today. In other words, his time had come for him to return unto his Father. And when he returned to the Father, he had to depart out of this world. And he departed from those which were in the world, those whom he loved. He loved them even until the end. So if you're going to be a servant of God, you must do it so out of love, a servant's heart. In the 13th chapter of this Gospel of John, Jesus is making preparation. And notice I said Jesus is making preparation. I didn't say he was making preparation, because he was making preparation back then. He's still making preparation today, and he's still going to be making preparation tomorrow and forevermore until that day that he returns. Isn't it something? Over 2,000 years ago, he was making preparation, and he's still doing it today. As we go through this thing called life's journey, we're always making preparation for something. We're either making preparation for this or we're making preparation for that. I heard Brother Sam said he's up there in Selma this week. He had to make preparations to be there. Somebody had to make preparation to be here this morning. When you gather together with your friends and loved ones, you don't just come together. You make preparations. So Jesus was making preparations. And I have three questions for you this morning. Are you making preparations? And if so, then what is it you're preparing for? And more importantly, by what means are you preparing? See, if you're doing it of your own accord, you might be in trouble. Making preparation. Jesus gives us the perfect example here in chapter 13 of love and service. Therefore, we should then love to serve. If Jesus can do it, then we ought to love to do it. In other words, we're supposed to be imitating him. His disciples were his earthly family, and he was teaching them how to serve and how to do it out of love. In spite of the fact that he knew Judas was going to betray him, he knew that Peter was going to deny him, he knew his disciples was going to desert him, and he knew today, even today, we're going to still be committing sin. But in spite of, he's making preparation, yet he showed them the fullness of his love. So that's what Jesus is doing in this chapter. He's showing his disciples the fullness of his love, the love, the last showing of his love for them other than what he did on the cross in spite of what they were doing. Moses said that we are to teach the commandments of God to our children diligently. Talk about them daily. Talk about them when we come into our home. Talk about them when we walk along the way. Talk about them when we rise up and when we sit down. Talk about them when we go out and when we come in. Talking about the commandments of God. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Solomon said it this way. Solomon said, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart." He said, "Train up a child in the way. I heard Jesus say, I am the way. So if we're training them up in the way, perhaps they will serve with a servant's heart. Perhaps they will understand what it means to be a model servant, emulating Christ. In this passage of scripture, Jesus humbled himself. He humbled himself to the lowest state of humiliation. And in doing that, I have three things that I want to share with you this morning. And then I'm going to take my seat. The first thing, in order to serve with a servant's heart, one must humble himself. See, in spite of Jesus knowing that he is Lord and Savior, he did not allow that to interfere with his purpose nor with his mission. Look at verse 3 in your Bibles, if you still have your Bibles open. Look at verse 3 and what it's been said. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and was now going back to God. He went to God. And it in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was the same was with God in the beginning. And then you get around to John 1 and 14, it said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he was with them in the beginning, and now he's sitting down at supper with his disciples, and he's about to administer some works that's not common for leaders and for shepherds. It was only common for those who were in the lower descent of as in slaves and those who kept the house of the masters. Watch this. He rises up in verse 4, said he rises up from the supper, and he laid aside his garments, and he took a towel, and he girded himself with this tower. Are you willing then to rise up from some things? Are you willing to take a stand for God? Are you willing to stand up for your household? Are you willing to stand up for your children? Are you willing to discipline them when it's time to discipline them? Are you willing to lay aside some things? I think many of us have a problem with laying aside some things because that means I have to give up. So am I willing then to deny myself? Can I deny myself on any other day than Sunday? I heard Deke got up this morning and didn't want to lay around and do nothing. And he knew that his church was open. And he got up and he made the trip from Selma to Montgomery to fellowship with his family, his Christian family. Now that's something. Or are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to do it not only on Sunday, or can you do it on Monday? What about Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday? Friday and Saturday, you roll back around to Sunday, and you find yourself always doing the work of the Lord. He rose up, like what Jesus did, rose up, and then he stooped down. Don't get that. Don't miss it. He rose up, and then he stooped down. And the stooping down wasn't the problem with the disciples. The fact that Jesus commenced to wash their feet, that's what had them puzzled, because here it is, our Lord, our Savior, who have come to rescue us. He's bowing down to the lower state of humiliation. In those days, the people walked around in sandals and they traveled over dirt roads, and it wasn't common then for them to go into a person's home and not be treated with gratitude. When they would enter into a home, the host of that house would provide them water so that they can wash their feet. And so Jesus began to wash his disciples' feet. He was washing the feet, serving a twofold purpose. The twofold purpose was to show his final proof of his love to his disciples and to give them an example of serving in humiliation. He was preparing them to carry on his mission. He was about to go and be crucified. He had told them that I'm going to leave you all. I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to be returned to the Father. So, but before he go, he was preparing them so that they can continue on the mission that he had set forth. Like Jesus, we must humble ourselves and love God and love our neighbors and love to do the work of God. So if we're going to become a servant with a servant's heart, and because of the love of God, then we must humble ourselves that we can effectively teach the others in an example of the humility and the service that we must render to God. How can we do that? We must deny ourselves. We must put aside some things, as did Jesus. Humble ourselves. Humble. When I humble myself, I come to realize it's not about me anymore. When you humble yourself, you come to realize it's no longer about you. Whatever it is that God would have me to do, that it is, I must do. He said we must humble ourselves. And then the second thing is, in order to be or to serve as a servant with a servant's heart, one must then have an understanding. You can't serve when you don't understand. Walking around in confusion. Peter didn't understand. And I can only imagine that his disciple, the other disciples, didn't understand anyway. Because it was, again, not customary for a leader or for a master to bow down and wash the feet of a slave. That duty was left to the lowest person in that household. And in most cases, back then, it was a non-Jew slave. A non-Jew slave. In other words, I can speak for my forefathers. I've had talks with my grandmother and with my grandfather and understood what they went through as slaves and as servants and having to bow down and having to yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'ams. And, you know, in spite of what they were going through, the people didn't matter. They were considered nobodies in the eyes of the servant. So to wash anyone's feet, Peter declared, Jesus should never wash his feet. No, Lord, not my feet. You should never wash my feet. And have to be careful with your nevers when it's pertaining to God. You have to be careful because, see, there are a few nevers I know about God. And that is true according to the word. God said he would never leave you nor forsake you. Now, in other words, he will always be with you. He will never lie because he's not a man that he should lie. And he will never, watch out, he'll never forgive you if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. That's the one never that any of us don't want as an inscription over our head. We blaspheme the Holy Spirit because according to the word of God in Matthew 12 and 31, he said that he would not forgive you for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, not in this age nor the age to come. In other words, that would be eternal damnation for you with that never. But Peter, not understanding, he said, Jesus, you should never wash my feet. Watch Jesus' response. He said, if I wash not your feet, then you have no part of me. Uh-oh. You got my attention now. I've been walking with this Jesus for 3 years, and he's been teaching me. He's been protecting me and feeding me and clothing me. He's just doing everything for me. Now he got my attention. Jesus said that if I don't wash you, you have no part of me. And I don't think any of us want to hear God say, you have no part of me. I don't think any of us want to hear him say, away from me, you worker of iniquity. You serve me with lip service, but your works don't speak for me. Your heart is not dear to me. So, he tells them, you don't have no part of me if I can't wash your feet. And Peter came to his senses. He said, not only, Lord, Should you wash my feet? But wash my hand. Wash my head too. I know some of us, I've been one of those, man, the Lord been good to me. He done washed me. Yeah, he can wash me all over. But Jesus was saying, if you're clean, you're clean all over. But one of the disciples was not clean. And that one that he was speaking of was Judas. He said, if you've taken a bath, there's no need for you to wash your whole body. He said, you only need your feet to wash. Remember, they were in the desert, so they were going to someone's home, and they've already washed up. But I hear him saying to us today, you don't need to be washed again. See, when you've been covered by the blood, there's no need for you to be rebaptized. All you have to do is repent and come unto God. I've heard folks say, well, I got to be baptized again. No. That was only the outward show of your faith in Christ, that he had died and he had gone down in the grave and rose again. So your baptism then was immolating Christ. He only died once. So you don't have to go. He's not going back to the grave. So you don't have to be rebaptized. So see, he's saying to us that we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And when you repent of your sins, he will forgive you of your sins. So there's no need for you then to be baptized again. We've been washed then with the blood of Jesus. Now our hearts are being prepared to do the will of God. Our hearts are being prepared to be that servant that served with a servant's heart. And first thing then, we must humble ourselves. And then we must get an understanding. And once you get that understanding, as Peter did, then the last thing that you must do is you must apply yourselves. We can't do the work of God without the application of the word. Jesus asked his disciples after he had gotten down and washed their feet. When he got back up, he put his clothes back on and said he sat down at the table again. And he began to ask the question, do you understand what I just done to you? Do you know what it is I just done to you? Have it sunk in you? I'm asking you, do you understand what I just done to you? See, it wasn't about washing you up and making you clean. It was about me preparing you to carry on the mission once I go back to my Father. Because the word still has to go forth. Souls still have to be saved. You still have an obligation and a responsibility to preach and teach the word of God. So he said, you call me Master and Lord. And you're right about that. Because that's exactly who I am. He said, if I then be your Lord and your Master, and I can wash your feet, you ought to be able to wash each other's feet. See, when you serve with a servant's heart, that means you're serving with that agape love. Nothing will stand in the way of your service, because you're not doing it to be recognized by man. You're doing it because you love God first, and then you're loving your neighbor as yourself. When I love my neighbor as myself, I can deny myself that I can do the will of the Father. He said, if I wash your feet, you ought to be able to wash each other's feet. And he said, I've given you an example. Did you get the example? What Jesus did for us, he told him, I've given you an example that you should do then as I do. He told his disciples in Matthew, he said, don't do what the Pharisees do, for they say this and they say that. It is the word of God, and if it's the word of God, that I want you to do. But don't do like they do, because they're doing all those abominable things in the world. And I don't want you to follow the things that they're doing. They're committing adultery. They're imitating and they're bowing down to false gods. I don't want you to do that, but I want you to do what I have done. I'm not saying that you have to go and wash your neighbor's feet. Matter of fact, if you look at the person next to you and they ask you to wash your feet, you're probably. But if you got the love of God in you and the Holy Spirit tells you to wash his feet. I can only imagine you bending down and beginning to wash his feet, to wash your feet, because you're now exerting the love of Christ. You're now imitating Christ. You're now preparing to go ye and make disciples. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And lo, I will be with you until the end of the earth. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Will you then set aside your differences and become a servant with a servant's heart? See, he who would be leader must first of all be servant of all. You can't lead them where you don't go. And you can't go to the word. You can't lead them to the word. You can't teach them the very things you don't know. How you gonna tell somebody about God when you don't know about God, because you have not studied the word of God? You can't show them the love of God if you can't live the word of God. And I think I'll say that again. You can't show them the word of God if you can't live the word of God. Love is what love does. I heard Jesus when he was sitting down at the table. He rose up and got out of his clothes, wrapped a towel around his body, and he went to his disciples. He got the bucket of water, and he went to his disciple, and he got the bucket, and he kneeled down to his disciple, and he poured water from the basin onto his disciple's feet, and he began to wipe his disciples' feet. I'm not doing this because I want you to be clean, but I'm doing this because I want you to know that I love you, brother. I want you to know that this is how you are to do that, brother. This is how you are to do that, sister. Because when I go from here, you still have to do the word of the Lord. You have to complete the will of the Father. You still have to make disciples. Will you go? Will you serve? Will you do it with the love of God? Jesus went down and showed himself to be in the lowest state of humiliation. I wouldn't dare bow to wash your feet. But if the Lord put it in my heart to wash your feet, it would be washed. I don't have to wait until you get sick and unable to wash it for yourself. He said, how many times have you gone into the hospital and one couldn't wash their feet? Will you wash it then? Would you wash it only because it's your mama? Would you wash it only because it's your daddy? What will you do with that stranger on the side of the road? If the Lord put it in you to wash their feet, wash their feet. Because what you're doing in that is you're demonstrating that agape love. That unconditional love. And love is what draws people to God. If you come up to people with a nasty attitude, you're going to turn folks away from God. But we should always be about lifting up Christ. Because he said, if I be lifted up, I draw all men unto me. If you're going to be a model servant of the Lord, do it then with a servant's heart. Go ye therefore, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Peter didn't understand, but once he understood, now he's prepared to go do the work of the Lord. Now the disciples are prepared to go do the work of the Lord. If you're that one that has accepted Christ, you're that disciple. So you have to be prepared to go do the work of the Lord at any means necessary. If God sends you to it, he will enable you to do it, and he will see you through it. But you have to trust him all along the way. a servant's heart. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Doors of the church open. Doors of the church open. Don't be that one that walk around and tell folks how much you love God and how much you love them, but your actions don't show it. Be the epitome of Christ and what he did for you and what he did for me and what he did for us. If you don't know Christ for the pardoning of your sins, will you be that one that come forth at this time? I know Sister B said, if we have any guests among us, will you stand to be acknowledged? And there were no one to stand. So me and my finite mind, I assume that we're all family. But I can't take it for granted that you have been saved. That's why I'm asking you now, if it's you, will you come forward? Will you be that one that dedicates your life to Christ at this time? Are you that one that has backslid? You've fallen short like all of us. Fall short day in and day out. But remember, we don't have to be rewashed. All we have to do is repent and return. It was God who said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven. He will forgive the land, forgive them of their sins. All you have to do is repent and come back to him. Will you be that one? And if you're not that one, as always, will you be that one that take his word beyond these walls? Would you be that witness for him? Would you be that model servant for him? And remember, in order to be a model servant, it must be done with love. Exercising the servant's heart. God bless you. It's time for communion.
At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart roll away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away.
Lord.
I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Oh, the blood done signed my name. I'm a witness. I'm a witness. Oh, the blood. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the blood. I've been washed with the blood. When you walk from beyond these doors, this roof, look up and say, I'm covered by the blood. Now I'm going about to do my servant's duty, and I'm going to do it with a servant's heart. Amen. All hearts and minds clear? Let us stand for the benediction. Dear God, our Lord and Savior, we're so grateful to you for how you continue to bless us, for how you continue to look down on us, Father God, and see and meet our every need. You provide us with everything we stand in need of. You even allow us to have most of the things we want, and for that, we're grateful. We pray that you will cover us, Father God, as we leave this sanctuary, but never your presence, Father God. Keep us in your perfect peace. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, now and forevermore. And may all God's children say, amen.
Oh.